Christian Singles, welcome back to another podcast of Single Plus. I'm your host, Daria White Osa. If you have not subscribed, go ahead and do so. Make sure you follow and share on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and you can also follow on Instagram at MySinglePlus. If you are also looking for Christian community, I am one of the leaders for the Christian Singles Hub. You can go to the ChristianSinglesHub.com, get all the info, plus join our Facebook group as well as our Hub platform. So thank you all so much. Let's get into today's episode. Hello, Christian Singles. Welcome back to another podcast episode of Single Plus. It has been a while since my last episode, but we are back. Happy April. I hope you enjoyed Resurrection Sunday. I hope you all have been doing well due to my work schedule. That's what's been going on. So just know that everything is okay. The podcast is still here. Don't panic. Just a lot of readjusting recently, but this particular topic was on my heart, and I may title this episode, God Doesn't Care About Numbers, or God Works Outside of Time, somewhere along those lines. But this has been on my heart recently, and I wanted to encourage you all out there that feel like time is just slipping away from you, and you thought you would be married by now, and depending on what age bracket you're in, the feeling is different. I know of some Christian singles who feel like time is ticking because they're almost 30 and they've never been married. But I also know that I have some friends and even listeners here who are like, hey, I'm approaching 40, or hey, I'm past 40, or hey, I'm almost 50, almost 60, and I've never been married, or I thought I would be married by now, or the relationship that I was in, it didn't work out. And I know I hinted at this before in previous episodes, but it came back up again. And I just wanted to again bring some encouragement, because when it comes to our timeline, of course, we think that things should happen in a certain time frame. And I can't speak for men, but I think as women, there definitely is the pressure for those that want to get married. There is the pressure of wanting to get married younger. And not all, but some women feel like they need to have it all together while they're young, because as you get older, especially if you want to have children, studies show and scientists say that after you hit a certain age, your eggs start shriveling up. It becomes more difficult to conceive. There's a high risk for pregnancy, or there's a higher chance of your child being born with a disability or some type of developmental delay. We hear all this stuff, and unfortunately, it plants a lot of fear into our hearts, and we may make decisions prematurely to get into something that we know is not right for us, or we just feel like, you know, I might as well just throw in the towel because it's not going to happen for me. It hasn't happened yet. And there's just so many worst case scenarios that go off in our heads in terms of like, when is this going to happen, Lord? And I have to tell you that there is no easy answer to those questions. I don't know why some get married sooner than others. I don't know why some get married later on in life where they are past 40 or past 50 or even past 60. I don't know. And you thought your life would have turned out differently. And you're like, I wanted to have kids, but because, you know, of my age, I can't anymore. I'm past that. You know, I'm past the childbearing years, or whatever your scenario is, or maybe a case of you're reaching a certain age and you're being written off because you're seeing that people want to date a younger person. And I have heard this, especially with women, if they're getting older and they're interested in men, you know, looking to date, most men, not all, some men are looking for a younger woman. And the woman automatically feels pushed to the side. She feels shortchanged. She feels like she's not even considered because of her age. And unfortunately, that has been a deal breaker that has left some incredible women off on the sidelines, because some men want to look for a younger woman. Because again, in the back of their mind, if they're wanting to have children, it's going to be easier to be with a woman who is younger as opposed to a woman who's older, and it may be more difficult for her to conceive. And again, just all this stuff that can burden us, all this stuff that can just do so much to us emotionally. And I just want to, again, bring encouragement to you that God knows exactly where you are. You're not lost. He did not lose track of you. And God knows how old you are. Okay, so Time is not necessarily for God. It really isn't. He created it, so he really doesn't need it. But he uses time for us. So we're living on this timeline that God has created, but there are times where we think that things should have happened sooner. We're human. We're going to think that, right? We think I should have had this career by now, or I should have had the marriage by now. I should have had the kids by now, or I should have been further along in my company where I got promoted by now. Whatever it is that you're thinking, you attach whatever it is that comes to mind where you're like, I should have had this by now. But I want to ask a follow-up question to that. According to who? According to who? According to who do we think that we should have had all these things lined up right now? All this should have been done by now. And really, it's based off of what I've experienced is societal pressure. There's these societal pressures and expectations that people automatically think that we should have by a certain age, by a certain time. But if you're a late bloomer in some of these areas, or if you started later, perfect example, if you're just now starting your business and you're thinking, man, I should have started this when I was in my 20s, maybe you didn't know what you wanted in your 20s. 9 times out of 10, you probably didn't, unless you were just really, really, really mature, but you didn't know what you wanted out of life at that age. So let's say you are past 30 or in your mid 30s, close to 40, and you're just now starting to get your business off the ground and you're thinking, man, I should have been further along. You have the maturity now. You have the skills now. You have the knowledge now. You have the character now, as opposed to if you did start it back in your 20s, you probably would have squandered it. You probably would have, you know, made some mistakes that you didn't necessarily have to make because, again, lack of maturity. So I say that as an example because God knows exactly where you are. And I know for me, I did think that I would be married before 30. That was just my assumption. That was my timeline. That's what I thought that God was going to do. And it was a harsh awakening when that didn't happen. And in my case, I did get married. I got married at 32. And it was not something that I thought or imagined. I thought I would have been married 6 years prior to. But that's not how God wrote it in my story. And I'm glad that that's not how he wrote it, because as I've shared before in previous episodes, had I met my husband 6 years prior to like I wanted, it wouldn't have worked because he didn't know the Lord. He did not know me. Yes, he grew up in church, but he had not made a personal decision yet to follow Jesus for himself. He was just going through the motions, going to church occasionally. It wasn't in his heart. So God needed that time to prepare him. God needed that time to mature him and to draw him closer. So now I'm reaping the benefits of that. But if I had gotten that prematurely, and if I had gotten caught up, and I'll admit it, there are some days were easier than others. Where I was like, okay, God, what's going on? I don't understand. Why is this taking so long? I don't get it. But it really was the best thing that could have happened, because now that my husband does know the Lord and we're both pursuing Christ together, it makes our marriage that much stronger. So you don't know what God could be protecting you from. You don't know what God could possibly be shielding you from. You just don't know. You just don't know. You just don't know who God may have in mind for you that may not be until later. And he needs that time to prepare. And I was watching a documentary with my husband, and it was talking about Moses. And it wasn't necessarily Christian based, but there were some points that I liked. But even if you look at the biblical story of Moses, as it's documented in the book of Exodus, when he is saved from being killed with all of the Hebrew boys and he's raised in Pharaoh's palace. And then when he runs away after murdering an Egyptian and God calls him to go back, the Israelites were enslaved for over 400 years. And God tells Moses that he has seen the suffering of his people. He has heard their cries. And there was a question that was posed in the documentary that they kind of left open-ended, but I want to answer it here because I think it ties into this conversation. The question was, if God heard the sufferings of his people, if he heard their cries, why didn't he do something about it then? Why did it take him so long to answer? Well, in my opinion, the answer to that is that Moses wasn't born. It was God's plan for Moses to be the deliverer of the Israelites out of Egypt. So Moses couldn't Moses wasn't designed to come in year 100 of their slavery. Moses wasn't created by the year 200 of them being in slavery, or even the year 300. So yes, there were generations after generations that died in slavery, and they never saw the promise fulfilled of them being delivered out of the hands of Pharaoh. I don't know why God did that. But one reason I do know is that Moses, he called Moses. So if God has called you to an assignment, that is your assignment. Somebody else could try to fill your shoes, but it is your assignment. And God assigned this incredible task to Moses. And when you look at the biblical story of Moses and how he followed God, yes, he was hesitant. Yes, he tried to talk God out of it when God first appeared to him in the form of a burning bush. And he's like, Lord, please send someone else. I'm not skilled when it comes to speaking. They're not going to believe me. How am I going to prove that it is that, you know, that you sent me and all this stuff? And God finally tells him, okay, take Aaron with you. Take Aaron with you. And you both go. He will speak on your behalf for you. But even with his brother going with him, it was still Moses' assignment. So the things that you're waiting for and you feel like time is slipping away, just ask yourself, God, is it just possible that what you have in mind for me hasn't arrived yet? Is it possible that what you have for me hasn't matured yet? Maybe it's already here, but it hasn't matured yet. It hasn't grown up yet. It still needs to be developed before he can present it to you. And one thing I love about God that I've learned in my own singleness journey now in marriage is that God did not give me something prematurely. Because had I met my husband before our time, before the time that we did meet, it would not have worked out. So God is willing to say no to you right now so that he can say yes to you later once the blessing has developed. And he always took me back to the comparison of a woman being in her first trimester and delivering in her first trimester. For those of you that are listening that are moms, you know that having a baby in the first trimester is dangerous. It's dangerous to the mother. It's dangerous to the baby. The baby needs time to grow in the womb. The baby needs time to develop. Having a child prematurely is dangerous. So a blessing from God prematurely is dangerous. It is. It won't survive. Either you don't have the character for it yet, or the person that God has for you doesn't have the character for it yet. There could be so many different reasons, reasons that we don't understand. But please do not write yourself off and don't allow the enemy to make you think that there's something wrong with you. Don't start nitpicking at yourself. Don't start trying to tear yourself apart and think, oh, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not worthy of love. Maybe I'm not this, maybe not of that. We just finished celebrating Resurrection Sunday, right? So let that lie die right now, because you are absolutely worth it. Whether you're a man or a woman listening to this, you are absolutely worth it because Jesus Christ willingly gave his life for you. So the next time that lie pops up that you're not worthy of love, rebuke that thought, cast down that thought in the name of Jesus, because it is a lie from the pit of hell. You are worthy of love. I can't stress that enough. I can't stress that enough, because I see so many Christian singles fall into that trap thinking something is wrong with them. Something must be wrong with them because they are not where they thought they would be. It didn't happen on their timeline. It didn't happen when they thought it would. And I'm sure the children of Israel thought the same way, thinking, God, why haven't you delivered us yet? It's been 100 years. It's been 150 years. It's been 200 years. You know, I don't know all of the reasons why God did it. But one reason I do know is, again, Moses wasn't born yet. And when God does bring Moses back to Egypt and the 10 plagues occur, and God delivers them from the hand of Pharaoh, the Bible says that when the seas returned and Israel had already crossed over, that the Israelites saw the Egyptians were dead. The enemies that were chasing them, the enemies that had tortured them and beaten them and kept them enslaved for all that time, God destroyed their enemies before their very eyes. And they rejoiced in their newfound freedom and they praised God for what he had done. So I don't know why, again, but please do not allow the enemy to wear you out in this season. I said that on a podcast that I did with my husband, and it's interesting that it's coming back to mind right now. But the enemy wants to wear you out in this singleness season. if you want to know why you're so tired of all of the heartbreak and disappointments or being ghosted and everything else that you feel like is just not going for you, and you're tempted to give up, you're tempted to throw in the towel, the enemy is trying to wear you out. Because if he can get you to become cynical, if he can get you to become bitter, if he can get you to become resentful to where you start mistrusting God, you're like, well, there's no point in believing because it's not going to happen. It hasn't happened by now. And watch your language in this season too. Because unfortunately, with the Israelites, though they rejoiced when God delivered them, they gave over into complaining. And a whole generation, another whole generation died out and did not see the promised land because of their complaining and their lack of belief. If you believe God for a relationship, a godly kingdom relationship, and you're believing God for marriage, hold on to that with all that you have. Believe God for it. Yes, that's the spiritual side of it. Practically, continue to put yourself out there. You all know that I am a part of still the Christian Singles Hub. So there are online events, there are in-person events, there's singles events. There's one coming up this weekend on April the 7th. If you'd like to join, you can join the Facebook group. Just type in the Christian Singles Hub, the Facebook group. You'll be able to join there. There's also in-person events. Michelle and her husband are on tour, and they're touring all 48 states and, you know, just coming together with fellow Christian singles and encouraging them and just giving them a space to feel seen and feel loved. So there is a place for you. That's what you can do on the practical side to get yourself out there and to meet new people. But on the spiritual side, you trust God. You trust God no matter what. And if you're having a hard time trusting God right now, I want you to remember what he did before. That miracle that he came through for you, and you know which one it is. You may have several, but anytime I feel like I'm in a space and I'm wondering, God, what's happening? God, what are you going to do? I try to remember what he's done for me before. And there's a song that I love listening to when I feel that way is Lauren Daigle's Remember. And part of the tag in that song is, I can't stop thinking about your goodness. I remember you've always been faithful to me. Remember, the next time the enemy wants to make you think that it's not going to happen for you, God's not going to come through, you recall a time where God did come through for you. You recall a time where he was faithful and he kept his word. You recall a time where you prayed, maybe you fasted, and God answered your prayer down to the detail. You remember that and hold on to that. Remember what he's done before. Remember what he's done before. I believe it is in Psalms 77, and they even made reference to this particular psalm in an episode of The Chosen. It was the last episode to season 3. And I'll read it from the New King James Version, but the psalm opens up with a lot of grief, crying out to God, you know, being troubled. But then it says in verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Verse 6 of Psalm 77, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and he will be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? So if you want to just pour out your heart to God, just know that you can. But I'm going to skip down to verse 11, just again to this remembering part. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. So I'm encouraging you to remember. Don't stop remembering. Don't get selective amnesia because you're going through something and it's in your present and you feel blinded by it. But try your best. Ask Holy Spirit to bring back to your remembrance everything that he's done for you in the past. Again, whether you pray for breakthrough, whether you pray for a miracle, maybe you were praying for a loved one or a friend, a family member, and God came through and just blew it out the water. and your heart was so overjoyed and you were so overwhelmed and you were so grateful. You couldn't help but praise him. You couldn't help but give him thanks. You couldn't help but say thank you. You couldn't help but rejoice. Remember those moments when the enemy wants to make you think that God has forgotten about you, whether you think it's about your age or anything else. God is not bound by the numbers. God knows how old you are. God knows exactly where you're at. So this topic, as I said, has been on my heart for a while, and I wanted to address it. And again, I hope and pray that you are encouraged, and more than anything, that you would continue to look to Jesus and not to your current circumstances. Because despite where you are in whatever season of life you're in, you can still rejoice because Jesus died for you. Again, as we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday not too long ago, Jesus died for you. He rose for you. And he did that willingly so that you and I could be restored back to the Father. So, Father, I thank you for those that are listening right now. Holy Spirit, I pray for the men and women who feel like time is just ticking away from them and that there's no way, Father, that they can have what they pray for because they think that it's too late for them. But, Father, you don't work according to our timetable. You have your own timetable. And God, I thank you that even what we felt like took years, you can do in 3 days. We saw with Jesus how he went into the grave on Friday, but he rose again on Sunday. You can do a lot, Father, in 3 days. You can restore, Father, even with the children of Israel, when Moses stretched out his staff and he stayed there all night. And the Israelites were able to cross the next day. Father, you can do something overnight. Father, you can change a situation in an hour. You can, Father, do things suddenly, immediately. We've seen those words in the New Testament, Father, where miracles happen immediately or suddenly. So, Father, we thank you for being the God of immediately. We thank you for being the God of suddenly. But, Father, even if some miracles take longer than others, I pray, Lord God, that we would not grow weary in well-doing and that we would remember, according to Psalm 77, of what you did before. That we will remember, Father, how you came through for us the last time and the time before that and the time before that. And may we trust your character, God, in a world, Father, that wants to disprove who you are, in a world, Father, that wants to make arguments against you and say that you're not good, that you're not compassionate. Father, we as your sons and daughters, we, Father, as the children of the Most High, we know that you are good and that you have good plans for us, Lord. It doesn't mean that everything happens like the way we planned it. It doesn't mean, Father, that we won't go through things. But what it does mean, Lord, is that you are on our side. And if you be for us, Lord, who can be against us? And you've given us authority, God. So when those thoughts come of doubt, when those thoughts of fear come, fearing of being alone for the rest of our lives, I bind those thoughts. I pray, Father, your sons and daughters will take authority in the authority that you have given them, and that they would cast those thoughts down in the name of Jesus. They would rebuke, Father, those thoughts, and they would replace those thoughts with your word. Thoughts, Father, that you think towards them. Thoughts, Father, that give them hope in a future, Lord God, for your word says that you know the thoughts that you think towards us, Father, plans to do well by us, Father, not to harm us. You're not here to harm us, Lord. You're not out here to torture us, God. You're not out here, Father, to dangle the carrot in front of us only to rip it away. Father, you know that some of these desires that a lot of these Christian singles have, Father, they are deep, genuine desires, Father. I don't believe, Father, that any of them have the desire for marriage because of shallow reasons. And if they do, Father, I pray that they repent. I pray, Lord, that you would change their hearts. But Father, there are those out here that sincerely desire it, Lord. They sincerely want to share their life with someone. And I believe, Father, that you do want more kingdom marriages here on the earth that will represent you, because marriage is supposed to be a representation of Jesus Christ and the church in the earth. And the enemy wants to taint that. The enemy wants to distort that picture because he wants, Father, people to be disillusioned with it. He doesn't want, Father, for people to believe that you can bring people together, husbands and wives who love each other, who respect one another, who are honoring God, and that in turn causes them to honor each other. And they're raising righteous seed. They're raising their children in the Lord. So, Father, we know that the enemy is after this, and he does it early by attacking Christian singles to try to discourage them, to try to wear them out, to try to make them bitter and cynical and resentful, to where they're so tired of waiting that they either give up or they settle. And then by the time, Father, you do bring the blessing into their lives, they're so jaded and mistrustful that they may self-sabotage and ruin something before it even begins. So Holy Spirit, I just pray for discernment. Open their eyes, Lord God. And I pray, God, again, more than anything, they will learn to trust you with everything that they have in the name of Jesus. I pray for comfort, Lord. Some probably won't admit it out loud, Father, but some are angry. Some, Father, may be cynical. Some, Father, may have those seeds of bitterness that are growing, but I rebuke those things in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that they would just be honest and open with you and say, God, I don't like it here. I don't understand what you're doing, but though you slay me, just like Job said, it may not be easy. It may not be what I thought, but Father, I trust you. Because you are my God, you are on the throne, you are sovereign, and you are in control. You are writing the story of my life, and you don't make mistakes. So I thank you, God, for what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do in and through their lives. And I know, Father, when the time comes for these blessings of marriage and relationships, you will get the glory. And they will turn around and tell others that you are the one that made it possible. Because when you are joined together, let no man put asunder. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much again. Subscribe if you have not already to the podcast. Thanks so much. And I will talk to you all next time. God bless. Bye.